Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we speak with Rick Velotta. He covers gaming for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Then Ray Hager and I talk to the pundits Marsha Burke-Bigler and Joe Guild. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Rick Velotta. He covers the gaming industry for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's start out with talking about Wynn Resorts. And it seems like they've been making all the right moves, both here and in Macau.
They have. And, one of the things that you have to consider is that most of the revenue that Wynn Resorts generates comes from Macau. So obviously that's where a lot of their focus is. But unfortunately, in the last few months, most of the focus has been instead on Las Vegas and specifically Steve Wynn and some of the legal issues that he's encountering right now.
It was interesting that Galaxy, a company probably unknown to most of the people listening to this program, that is huge in Asia and really has the largest cash flow, if I'm not mistaken, of any of the casino companies, is investing $1 billion into Wynn.
Yes, and Galaxy does have some outstanding product in Macau. I've actually visited a couple of their locations there, and they are top quality. The company is based in Hong Kong. Obviously, they have a very close interest there because Macau is just an hour's boat ride away from Hong Kong. And I think this collaboration means something in terms of future developments, maybe some future things, and but not only that, but maybe they get a foothold in Southern Nevada. So we're going to have to wait and see what this investment means. But just the fact that they've made it and that everybody seems to be happy with it is a forward progress for both Wynn and for Galaxy.
And with the concession licenses for Macau coming up over the next couple of years, it will be in their favor, won't it? That this is a Chinese company wanting to renew the license in China.
Definitely. That may be part of the strategy, in fact, because of the fact that when these renewals do come up, and they're for all the American companies that are there, Las Vegas Sands and MGM Resorts International, they are going to be coming up for renewal over a period of several years. It doesn't actually happen for another couple of years, I believe, the first one, but the fact is that if you do have a connection there, an ally, if you would, for operations in Macau, that can't hurt. So maybe that's part of the strategy. I'm not sure.
There's been a lot of discussion about the potential breakup of Wynn to where the Macau assets will be in one place potentially, and the U.S. assets might be sold off to somebody else. Does this put a damper on that talk?
I don't think so. I think that you talk to some of the executives at Wynn Resorts now. They're looking to move full speed ahead in terms of the company that includes assets in both locations. But I think that some of that talk was generated by people who maybe either had some wishful thinking about it or they thought that this was going to be the solution to some of Steve Wynn's problems. So at this point in time, I don't think there's any further discussion about breaking up the company in any particular way.
In Boston, where they've got the Boston Harbor property opening up, I believe you were reporting that they're maybe changing the name from Wynn Resorts to Encore.
That's correct. And this was kind of generated by some of the officials in Massachusetts, particularly the governor of Massachusetts came out and said, you know, we probably think we need to have the name changed on this. They don't want the Wynn name. And we have to say that that Steve Wynn has not been formally charged with anything. He denies all the allegations against him. So I think that that's a little bit premature. But at the same time, when you have the governor saying this and then the attorney general coming in and then the Massachusetts Gaming Commission getting flooded with phone calls from people saying, we want this name changed, obviously the company has to listen to that. They think about what the options are. And of course, I think the Encore option is a perfectly good option because it's part of the branding that that they do both in Las Vegas and in Macau. So having that brand without having Wynn's name on it, it certainly seems to make a lot of sense.
As far as the board of Wynn Resorts, do you see the potential for more board members resigning or not being reelected? We've already seen a change of two of the board members, but just because of the ongoing court battle and the investigations by the Gaming Control Board, not just in Nevada, but in Macau, as well as in Massachusetts, do you see the potential for more turnover on that board?
I think it's definitely possible, Sam. It's one of those things that once some of the investigative materials come out, some of the disclosures are made in terms of who knew what when, then we might see some of these other board members either resigning or being forced to resign. Unclear yet at this point who is involved with this and what might happen, but you've got a number of people who are have been on the board for a long time, including former Governor Bob Miller. It still has to play out in terms of what happens with that. But it would not surprise me if there were some exits coming in. And in the meantime, the board has also indicated that they're looking for new people to replace the ones that have already announced that they're leaving. So it's very possible that we'll see some kind of a turnover in the Wynn Board of Directors.
All right, let's take a break. More with Rick Velotta when we come back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Rick Velotta. He deals with everything tourism, especially gaming, in Southern Nevada for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So the Fontainebleau now becomes the Drew. JW Marriott is going to do the hotel side of things. Are there big Marriott properties on the Strip?
Well, there are a number of Marriotts in, I don't remember whether there's any actually on the Strip, but there are certainly some connections with that. And there are a number of Marriott properties just off Strip for sure, near the convention center. So this actually kind of fits right into their, right in their wheelhouse in terms of having properties that have easy access to convention facilities, which is kind of their bread and butter. They're not really big on the gaming side, but at the same time, having a property that will have some gaming in it, they'll probably sublease that to a company to operate it on their behalf.
Well, and also, I mean, just having that connection to that JW Marriott list of reward cards, that's got to be huge in terms of filling up that property.
Absolutely. It's a marketing coup on their part to be able to get that many rooms right on the Strip and within a very easy walk to the convention center, the Las Vegas Convention Center. So certainly part of their planning, I'm sure. They haven't really given too many details on what they've got in mind, but certainly you have to look at that as the possible outlook on this.
And, of course, the North Strip is in its own ramping up for a mini boom there. The SLS passed muster with the gaming control or the commission, and so now they're moving ahead with that purchase. I still think that Alex Morello and the Morello Group is going to bring a lot of surprises to folks on the Strip who are just thinking, you know, this is just an independent operator. I mean, these guys have got big guns behind them, TV stations in L.A., radio stations, all kinds of entertainment products that they could use to market to Las Vegas.
I think that all of us in the media business wish that Alex Morello were a little bit more open with some of the plans that he has, because obviously there are people who are very excited and very interested in knowing what he does have planned. Certainly that property is historic in nature. But as you point out, he's got great marketing in Southern California, thanks to the media that he owns there. Plus, there's obviously the connection with Reno, with the Grand Sierra. You know, I can see some cross marketing that could happen between Las Vegas and Reno as a result of those properties. So we'll find out what he has in mind. But at the same time, I think you're absolutely correct that this is something that is going to be a very big positive for the North Strip.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting, and as somebody who arrived in Reno in 1978 when the MGM Grand, which is now the Grand Sierra, opened, Alex Morello has just brought that property back to life. The Grand Sierra is probably more opulent than it was back in the day when Kurt Kerkorian opened it, and it was fabulous back then. He just opened up an ice rink. He's opened up a major swimming pool area that the ice rink is within. I mean, it's an astonishing property, and they've got money. They're not sitting around, you know, counting pennies to see how they're going to pay the bills.
Yeah, well, it takes money to make money, and certainly that's something that they probably took into account when they acquired the SLS in Las Vegas, because of the fact that there was something missing there, and I'm not exactly sure what it was. Location is not something you're going to be able to change, but the fact is that now with some of the marketing ability for specifically in Southern California, that's going to be something that that should draw some people in. I think that Mr. Morello has some great connections with the Hispanic community, and it wouldn't surprise me very much if he took he leveraged that in some way. So we'll see what transpires, but certainly this is something that I think the North Strip is really looking forward to.
Yeah, I think the problem with SLS, the thing they were missing were customers.
Yeah, well,
so let me ask
you do have to have that. And the fact that they're on the monorail route, that helps them as well. So
tremendously with the convention center. I mean, you know, that's really the pivotal thing for everybody, is that convention center remodel is going to be huge. And you know, I think that's why you're seeing all this activity on the North Strip, and I wouldn't be surprised to see other things taking place there. One thing I wanted to ask you was, are we seeing Resorts World actually doing some serious construction on their site?
Yes, it's going up rapidly. There are some massive cranes on the site. So, yes, we are seeing some forward progress on that for a 2020 opening is what we've been told. So yeah, the resorts world, that brings another major company internationally in focus to the North Strip, and certainly that is something that is on everybody's minds in terms of how that's going to play out, because you'll have presumably a remade Wynn, you'll have the Drew, you'll have SLS, and you'll have Resorts World all working that area, and meanwhile you've got a major, you know, 650,000 square foot expansion to the Las Vegas Convention Center that will, from all accounts, is going to be tremendous in terms of the technology it provides and the look and feel that will exist there.
And, you know, going back in history here, MGM, when they built City Center in the early stages, they were talking about a City Center North. And I wonder if that idea could come back at some point. But that's a topic for another conversation. Rick Villotta, always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Sam.
All right, man. And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Marsha Burke-Bigler is here, the Washoe County Commissioner, and Attorney Joe Gill. Pleasure to have you both here on the program.
Morning.
You know, one of the races that seems to be most interesting to me is CD4, where Stephen Horsford is gone out of retirement from politics to being a successful Washington, D.C. lobbyist, and now he's running in CD4. What do you think that's all about, Joe?
Well, I think he misses being an important Congress member. He did have a pretty successful lobbying business. Makes you wonder, you know, he'd get a cut in pay probably if he were to win that race. He obviously represents that district because he won it one time, and I think he did a pretty good job in that district too, even representing rural Nevada, because that's a huge part of that district. But he spent a lot of time up in rural Nevada, so I think he maybe wants to come home or raise his family in Las Vegas and, you know, commute like most of the members of Congress do.
Yeah, and it was interesting because that was one of the things that he was spoken about, was how much his wife and family enjoyed being in D.C. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a surprise for him to come back. You know, we're not hearing much from is Crescent Hardy.
Yeah, I find that really interesting that he is not more public and more out there. Especially since he also held the seat once. And so I'm a little surprised that we're not hearing more from him. But I've been told by some Republican insiders that it's because he's gearing his whole event up, and he's going to start here shortly in the first part of April.
Well, you know, really, there's only like 60 days
exactly
until the
right.
primary. So it's time for everybody to get going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things about Stephen Horsford that I harken back to that Dina Titus said on the show is that she said that he stayed back in Washington and went to work as a lobbyist. And she said, quote, you can kind of see the political ads writing themselves, you know. And so I'm wondering how the voters are going to think that. And I'm wondering if he's going to get out of the primary against Senator Pat Spearman.
I think the thing, a lot of it is about name recognition, and he does have name recognition throughout the entire district, as does Crescent. So I think a lot of it is about name recognition. And so really the key from my perspective, and I know Joe's been doing this forever, so he has a position on it, but I think the perspective is who's going to get the best name recognition. Senator Spearman is going to have to work part of a district that she's never worked before. She has no name recognition there.
Well, and Stephen started in politics as a lobbyist. People forget that.
Mm-hmm. For R&R, right?
Yeah. And, well, even before that, he worked for a guy named Lee Smith, who was a mining lobbyist.
Taught him a lot.
Mining lobbyist. Yeah. So it didn't hurt him when he first ran for the legislature. So I don't think it'll hurt him either. And I think what Marcia said about name recognition is probably going to carry the day in this race.
What do you think about
in the Democratic primary? Sorry.
Right. Yeah. What about rural Nevada? You know, 4 years ago, we saw tremendous response, you know, especially for Adam Laxalt. I mean, it was rural Nevada that carried him to victory. Do you think that rural Nevada will still be able to deliver that with the number of people that are moving to Washoe and Clark counties?
That's a great question. I think rural Nevada will have a big part to play, and I assume you're talking about the governor's race now.
Well, the statewide races in general, to be honest.
Well, but let's talk about the governor's race. I think that will help Adam Laxalt a lot because he's running against a person who will come out of the Democratic primary who represents Clark County and is well known down there. So rural Nevada is going to be important, but with a lot of new voters in both Washoe and Clark County don't know anybody. So
yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, Marcia, I wanted to ask you about the candidacy of Debbie Smith's husband for the Washoe County Commission. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think about that?
I think he'd make an excellent commissioner. And he is fairly well known in that district because he always walked with his wife.
Right.
And a good chunk of that district was part of her Senate district. You know, he has an interest in what goes on, and he's pretty conversant in growth and the type of growth we're seeing right now. So I think he'd be an excellent candidate. I think he's a real potential winner in that district.
Do you have concerns at this point in time, Joe, that no growth is starting to rear its ugly head again and could have consequences in this next election cycle? I'm probably more in northern Nevada than southern Nevada.
Yeah, I remember the no growth era back in the 80s in Washoe County in particular. I don't see the same level of interest or angst, if you will. And I haven't heard much about it. I think people are concerned about, like, infrastructure, Miss County Commissioner, things like that.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yes, they are. You get that more than I do. But I don't see a big no-growth wave, at least right now.
A brief answer on that, Marcia.
I think Joe's right. There's not the same type of no growth wave that we saw once before. There are clearly people who are not happy about the growth, and we'll just see as we move through this election if they start rearing up and really saying something.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both very much. We'll be right back.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, ProGroup moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Check out Nevada Newsmakers online at nevadanewsmakers.com. or you can go to iTunes and Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next broadcast.